Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to, we're going to be discussing how to negotiate your next multifamily deal. Now, I've got a really cool bonus for you. I want you to email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. And I've compiled a list of notes from Chris Voss's book, Never Split the Difference. His book is amazing. He's been on the Multifamily Mastery 6's stage. He's spoken at our events. He's been on our podcast 3 times. He is a wealth of knowledge. And one of the skills that we don't learn early on, unfortunately, there's a lot of skills we don't learn in school, but I think negotiation has got to be one of the top 3 or 4 skills that we need to learn just for life. You've got negotiation, you've got communication, and then you've got finance, money. But if you don't how to understand how to negotiate, how to get people to do what you're trying to accomplish, it's all about the influence. And you achieve that through proper communication, but also understanding how to negotiate with others. So let's jump right into it. At Jake and Gino, we created the SPY technique. We've trademarked this, S-P-Y. That's the acronym. And when you are negotiating with somebody, you are supposed to be listening to the other side. Stephen Covey says it's best. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Don't go in there just with your agenda. And I'm talking specifically real estate now, but I think this probably will bleed over into most other areas. You're trying to solve a problem when you're buying a real estate deal. And if you don't know what the problem is for the seller, how are you going to solve it? Or how are you going to negotiate it? Or how do you know what price or what terms or if the deal even makes sense for you? So SPY is seller, property, you. It is in that order. You need to understand, number one, first and foremost, the seller's problems, the seller's needs, the seller's desires. And how do you do that? God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Use it in that conjunction. Listen a lot more than you speak. Ask empowering questions. Why are you selling this property? How long have you owned it? What are you planning on doing with the proceeds? Types of questions that you can ask to get the seller to start opening up. And if the seller is not there, then you need to speak to the broker. You need to understand their pain, their motivation for selling it. Quick example is one of our Jake and Gino students, Ryan, just recently, a few months ago, closed on a $27 million deal in the Charleston market. Phenomenal, amazing deal. $18 million seller finance note. They had to raise $9 million in capital. And they had been hearing for months, these sellers, they're not going to sell, they're not going to sell, they're not going to sell. They had been hearing that, and every other broker had been hearing that. Finally, when it broke through what they wanted to sell, they just couldn't understand how to make that work. And Ryan was amazing enough to listen to their problems. He created a seller finance note. They're making more money now with the seller finance note, with the interest on that note, than they were managing the property. They had other people that were more capable, that had more capital, that had been trying to do it for years. And what did he do? He looked at the seller. He looked at their situation. He tried to solve their problem. So seller's the first part. P is the property. Does the property make sense for you? Or whatever you're trying to accomplish. Is it worth negotiating? Now for Ryan, amazing market. He already had a couple of assets in that market. Is in what we call at Jake and Gino, your buy right criteria. Boom, checks it off, perfect. You, Y-O-U, you're the last one in this equation. And we get caught up a lot of times in real estate thinking we understand the seller's motivation. We closed on a property a year ago. It was 128 units. The seller walked in to our office and said that he wanted to sell. We just got a deal dropped into our lap. Now, he named the price, which was ridiculously low. And some of you may be saying, well, why would he do that? We understood his motivation. He was getting older. He was sick. He actually liked this. We bought a property, the property next door to his 10 years ago. And as we were fixing up, rents went up. His rents went up. He wanted a quick and easy close. He didn't want to alert his employees or the residents at the place because he knew if that happened, he'd have a mass exodus. And he didn't want to pay the broker commissions. He thought the brokers were out there to get him and they were too expensive. So he walked in, named his price, and we ended up closing. We knew what his problems were. You need to do that when you're negotiating a real estate. There's another example of a deal that we did probably a little over 2 years ago, a 40-unit deal in Knoxville. Same situation. The seller wanted to sell, but he just didn't know how. And what really annoyed him, he had on the note, it was a prepayment penalty of $15,000 to the bank. He thought the bank was out there to get him. So what Jake did is he drove out there. He understood the avatar that he was speaking to. This is a gentleman who built this building, who had pride in this building. And he should have pride. He built an amazing building back in 05. This is back in 2021. Jake went out there with his pickup truck. He started to build rapport. He understood the seller's problems, the seller's annoyances. And he just wanted to sell the property to someone who understood the job that he did. And he wanted to sell it to somebody who's local, somebody who was in the market, and somebody who was in real estate and who would take care and continue his legacy. Now, for some of you, that may be crazy. You may not understand that. And I tend not to understand it myself, because if I'm in business, I'm trying to maximize my investment. And that's where you may be coming from. But that's not where this seller is coming from. That's why the SPY technique, SPY, is very, very important. Understanding that and going to the seller and saying, I'm going to give you $20,000 a unit more. He may not take it if I'm from New York, or if I'm just trying to quote unquote steal his property, as he might've thought. He was more willing to work with us because we said, hey, you know what? We'll take care of that prepayment penalty. It's not fair for you. And when we buy this property, you see our other assets, we're going to maintain this property. We're going to take care of this property. Remember, SPY. Now some strategies, negotiation strategies. We can go on tons of them, but there's a couple that I want you to really focus on. The first one, we call it the nibble technique. Have you ever been in a negotiation with someone and they just keep nibbling? They keep asking for something. They keep asking for something. You need to, as we say, nip it in the bud. You need to stop that as soon as possible. Well, can you change those two windows? Yes, that's a nibble. Or can you drop the price down by $50,000? That's a bigger nibble. What you need to do is you need to ask for something in return. I can do that. But how about we make the closing 10 days sooner? Nibble right back and you will stop it. And if you're trying to use the nibble technique against somebody, try to get away with this as long as possible. Keep nibbling away. Keep nibbling away. Just understand at some point it doesn't feel right and people don't want to feel as if they're getting taken advantage of. And I think we should really mention negotiation in its totality. What are your objectives? What are your goals? Hopefully, as you're listening to this, you're trying to build a business, an enduring business, an enduring company. And if you're going in there and you're positionally bargaining all the time, which means you're just, you know, focusing on what you want to get out of it and not worrying about anybody else, you're strong-arming them. That's the prototypical what people think of a person with a cigar or a cigarette, and they're going in there and they're trying to really strong-arm somebody. You can get away with that the first or the second time. But I will promise you, after you do that two or three times in a smaller market or even a larger market, people get wind of it and they don't want to work with you. So if you're just trying to get a one-off, you're trying to buy a business, you're never going to do business there again, you don't care, and you've got the upper hand and you want to hammer away. If the other side feels as if they've been taken advantage of or they've lost, they're never going to do business with you again. And guess what? They're going to tell everybody else. So understand what your motivation is, what your goals are. Now, principled, it's interest-based. It's based on the vested interests of all of us. I win if you win. Now, in Ryan's example, he hit a home run with what he got. He only had to raise $9 million for that deal. He had an $18 million seller finance note, 10 years, interest only at 6%. Amazing. You may be saying he got the deal of a lifetime. I personally think he did, but the other side did as well. They've got a note that's secured on an amazing piece of real estate. If Ryan decides not to pay, they take the property back. Oh, and they've deferred a ton of capital gains. Oh, and they've also got mailbox money. How awesome is that? Do you see how the principal negotiation worked? Someone else may have come in and said, we'll give you another $3 million. That wouldn't have worked for them because they would have paid a ton of capital gains. They wouldn't know where to put the money. They don't need $30 million. They need money coming in every month. And they don't need a huge tax bill. So principal negotiation always wins the day. Now, a couple other negotiation tactics or strategies. Jake and I used to like to call it the flinch. When a broker or a seller says something to the effect of, well, your property, you know, I want to sell for $3 million. You just flinch and go, ah, oh, oh. If you're on the phone, make it a little noticeable and just show a little pain there. And you have to understand, this took me years and years to realize, negotiation in real estate, it's just a game. If you know your property is worth $2 million, you cannot list it for $2 million. Because if they agree to it, they're going to feel as if, hey, I left some money on the table. It is a song and a dance. It's going to go back and forth. Understand that's the game. That's human psychology. And the flinch is just part of it. Oh, when the person hears that, they already know that you're a little uncomfortable. Mask your true intentions. Mask where you think you're going to go. There's an asking price. There's an offer price. And there's a strike price. Your strike price is the most that you're willing to go for the number and the property to make sense. Don't tell anyone what that strike price is, especially if you tell a broker, because if you tell a broker, I can go as high as 2.5 million and your offer is 2 million, well, guess what? The broker knows you can go to 2.5 million to make that happen. So keep that strike price there. And one thing about lowballing offers, and once again, is it positional bargaining or is it principled? And ask the broker for permission. Mary, this property is listed for $3 million. You and I both know that this property is not worth more than $2 million. Based on actual cap rates, based on a debt coverage ratio, based on my returns, I can't pay more than $2 million. Do you want me to put this offer in? Years ago, Mary would probably say, Gino, not really. I've got a ton of other offers. Today, in this market where we're shifting from a seller's to a buyer's market, Mary may say, Gino, you know what? Let me put it in. This property's been on the market for a little while. This seller has to have what we call a come to Jesus moment and make him understand that his property's not worth $3 million. So negotiate with the broker. Talk to the broker. You do not want to destroy that relationship. Multifamily is not like residential. You may do that in residential. It may work. It doesn't work as well in multifamily, especially when it's a hot market. You really want to create that relationship. You don't want to make the broker look bad. So ask for permission. Let me give you one more. The doorknob. If you're really frustrated and it's not working, just go and walk out and go to grab that metaphorical doorknob. Pretend you're leaving the room. And once you leave the room and you're just saying to yourself, you know what? I can leave. It's fine. I don't need this deal. The power is taken away from the other side. Once you become desperate, the other side knows that and they've got you. Be willing to walk away and give away the power if the deal doesn't make sense. We've walked away from a lot of deals, and I want you to write this down because this is important. No deal is better than a bad deal. Always remember that. Always be willing to walk away. A couple other things that I like to mention that Chris Voss talks about. He talks about being empathetic and listening. That's from the very beginning of the show. Listening is so important. Not just the objective listening, the intuitive listening. Understand what's going on with the other side. Understand why they're willing to do something or why they're not willing to do something. Understand their true motivation. And once you understand that, once again, Stephen Covey, seek first to understand, then to be understood, it's going to be a lot easier to start negotiating. And pick the principled approach, especially if you're trying to build that business. More people will want to be able to do business with you. Multifamily, and I think real estate in general, is all about networking. It's all about your network. It's all about the people that you know. If people like you, they'll want to do business with you. And if they want to do business with you and they like you, your goal is to understand how to build rapport and to make them trust you. And you hear the word win-win. It's probably what principal negotiation is about. It sounds a little corny sometimes. We don't want to hear about it. Oh, you create a win-win. But ultimately, that's what you're trying to do. Ryan's side won. His seller won. Jake and Gino won when we closed on a 120-unit property. Absolute home run of a deal. We're going to double the value in a year. But believe it or not, the seller also won. He got what he needed. He needed close. He needed guarantee of close. He needed that money to hit the bank. And oh, by the way, we did have a little bit of seller financing there as well, $400,000, because we knew that he liked that. He was getting mailbox money there. So he wasn't paying taxes. That was last year. Now, if we pay that note off in the year or 2 years from now, he'll pay the rest of the capital gains in the following years. So understanding that component is so important. To recap this, the SPY technique, seller, property, you. If you're looking for more information on negotiations or just how to become a better multifamily investor, email me, Gino@JakeandGino.com, and I'll send you a free copy of Creative Cash. Thanks for spending part of your day. This is an important, extremely important topic. Go out there, read Chris Voss's book, and I will see you on the next How To.